Some say that letter writing is a lost art. I wonder when the last time you got a handwritten letter was. We prefer texts and emails because they're quick and they're easy. And maybe because of that, many of us have noticed this, that emails and texts, they sometimes don't have any tone. You find this? For example, when Joanne texts me this, come on guys, I don't know whether she's enthusiastic or angry. You see what I mean? That exclamation point does something, doesn't it? Yeah. It's always enthusiastic, isn't it, Joanne? Yeah. No tone, texts and emails, all that. Letter writing seems to be different. And the New Testament, it's heavy with letters. And 2 John is a particularly good one. It's short, it's to the point, but it doesn't mean that it's not warm and heartfelt. It's personal, and it's also important. So we're going to break this down a little bit over the next few weeks, try to see what it might have to do with us, with the gospel, and what we might do as a result of reading it. So this morning, we're focusing on John's little greeting. He calls himself the elder. That's something to think about. And he has an immediate focus on his relationship with others in the truth. That's a big question for us always. What is truth? And then we'll also consider what real love is and what real love does. First of all, he introduces himself at the very beginning, but he doesn't use his name. He doesn't say, hi, it's me, John. He says, the elder, like this. Now, as good Presbyterians, we should smile and love that because we should understand what it carries. It's the word for elder is actually this, presbyteros. Recognize that word? And you might think, look, Greg, so what? Who cares about dusty old Greek and some old boy writing a letter? Well, we should care. Because John is not an elder because he's old. He's an elder because of his authority in the church. In other words, he's not just an elder, but a presbyter. Not someone who's old, but someone ordained with authority. It has nothing to do with years, but everything to do with wisdom. Like what Albert Einstein once said, others have said it too, it's not the years in your life that count, it's the life in your years. Yeah. So wisdom does not always come with age, I'm sorry to say. It's something that's taught, it's something that's given. And in our world, the world of the church, it's taught and it's given by the Lord himself. Because if wisdom is a gift, then so are elders. I'll quickly look at the elders in the room. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
And for the church, it's great. We're given these people and these things. I suppose what's worth saying is that PCI gets a reputation out there in the world, and maybe sometimes in the church as well, as being a church led by old white men. And there's nothing worse you can be in 2021, an old white man, if you come across this. The reality, though, if we look carefully and closely, if we look at all, is that PCI is a broader church than we might expect. It reaches all ages. It crosses borders of the world in the name of mission. And it has a vibrancy that many just don't know about or don't care to see. That's to say that John the Elder, John the Presbyterian, writes a letter in the authority given to him by Jesus Christ. It's more than saying hello. It's about knowing who we are listening to here. The second thing then to quickly clear up is who he's writing to. And that's unusual as well. To the lady chosen by God and to her children, whom I love in the truth. There's a lot of speculation here. Is this some woman John knows in the local church? Is there some strange relationship between John and this anonymous lady? No. It's simply a way of talking about the church. The church is written of and spoken to in female terms. She's a lady. She is the bride of Christ. And that's what John's doing here. Now, we can know that for sure, because at the close of the letter, we get the same language, except it's about the church community that John belongs to. He calls them sister, and he says, "Your children of your sister, who is chosen by God, send their greeting." You see it? One church writing to another. Now, why does that matter? Well, it matters because we see exactly that. One Christian community, a church, concerned and active with another Christian community and church. John writes to warn them and encourage them. We'll see more of that in the next couple of weeks, but for now, note the concern it takes to get out your paper and your pen and write a letter. It's an elder, one who has love and authority and knowledge of the gospel, writing to the church that might be under threat from something. Again, Presbyterians should be really good at this. And yet the human nature of many churches means that we miss this kind of benefit. I'm sure a lot of us here and out there think of Ballygilbert as my church. Yeah? Rather than seeing us as part of something much, much, much bigger. At the personal level of you and me, we might ignite some of this with our prayers for other churches in our area. My role is not to be just the minister of Ballygilbert, but I'm helping Ballycrocken at the moment find a new minister. What a privilege, what a joy to think of them, to pray for them, to know about them. We might do that. We might pray for a church in a vacancy, or we don't like doing this, but maybe pray for a church that's having trouble. It's lost its minister because of some sin or scandal, where we might be tempted to talk amongst ourselves about that. We should pray for them. Vacancies, scandals, these things aren't too far from where we're sitting now. Maybe you'd write a letter to a Christian friend just to encourage them in their faith. That's what we would call a relationship based in the truth, and it's the truth of Jesus. This is what John gets on to very quickly. He introduces truth very early, doesn't he? The elder to the lady chosen by God, to your children, whom I love in the truth. And not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. Can't miss that, sure you can. But did you spot as well the church that John writes from there? Did you see it? He loves this church in the truth, but he's not alone. Look what he says. Not only I, but all who know the truth. And that means he doesn't just personally love them, but he loves them along with others, and he loves them for a specific reason, the truth. What is that reason? What is the truth here? It's this: Christians are to love one another. You see, if God has loved me enough to send Jesus to die in my place, then I have to love others. I have to love others for whom that is also true. There's no wiggle there. Christians are to love one another. John loves to remind people of this in the church. It's almost one of his catchphrases, the one truth he builds everything else on. Jesus said, we're to be known for our love. How does that happen? You know, it's not just based on our appreciation of what Jesus has done. That's important, but it's only one step in the journey of faith. John hints at a huge truth here when he says we're to love. We're to love because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. So here then, friends, is an important truth for the church. We cannot really love without knowing the truth of Jesus. Abby was hinting at this earlier for us. There are other things that we call love. It's flavored by things like date nights, flowers, chocolates, cards, love letters, hugs and kisses. It blooms into marriages and children and anniversaries. These are all really, really good things. But the love of God is something else. The love of the cross, the love of Jesus, is unique. He is the only one who has backed his love up with his death. Lots of people have said that, haven't they? They've professed that they would die for the one they love. It makes for great movies, the best love songs. It occasionally happens in times of persecution and war. It's amazing. It's heroic. But it's not like Jesus. He dies for us in the only way that matters. And because he rises again, because of Easter, he doesn't just die for love. He dies for you, so that he can have us forever. Let's read this again. What does John say about love and the truth? The elder to the lady chosen by God, to her children, whom I love in the truth, not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. We need to move beyond being this church or that church. We need this. We need to have Christ live in us, the church, and for his presence to be changing us deeply into real lovers. Love that is broader than we imagine. Love that includes more than we imagine. And even as I say that, you might think of that as rare. That's a rare thing in the world, isn't it? Well, it is rare. But I'll say it again in case we're missing it. Go home and think of nothing else but this. You are the object of God's love. God loves you. So we need these kind of reminders week by week as the church family so that we don't grow cold or indifferent or unmoved by the gospel or for the people for whom Jesus died. That's always our challenge. We're nearly there. The last little bit of the intro looks like this. Grace, mercy, and peace from God, the Father, and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. At this point, folks, if you're feeling the challenge of this, of having to love others in the truth, then this is what we need. The encouragement to press on and know that you can do it. It is not just rare, it's possible. How will we love one another better? Well, let me say it's not from effort. It's not from human effort. The answer has already been given to us. God is the answer. He is with his people. Jesus Christ lives in his church. And so it's their power and presence that will bring love to completion. They are the source of all change in us and in our churches. I think we need to read these words carefully because John is not praying for grace, peace, and mercy. He's not hoping these things will happen. Look what he says. We will have them. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. The original looks a bit more like this. You'll excuse my horrible translation. With us will be grace, mercy, peace from God, Father, and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Do you see what he does there? He starts with the sure fact of this. With us will be grace, mercy, and peace. John knows that Christians will love because God's love comes first and it never fails. Grace, the peace it buys, the mercy it shows, is sure and certain. Jesus has proved it. He has given these things to his people. So if we cling to them, we will love in truth and in the church. Now, doesn't that sound brilliant? Doesn't that sound like a community we'd like to be part of? You and I would join that church, wouldn't we? How powerful would the church be in the world if we were really known for love like this? Why is it then, friends, that we find this so difficult? Why is this so hard? Because none of us loves Jesus enough. Not you, not me. His love is hard. The 2 John starts with Jesus and encourages you and me to do the same. If I could be so bold, we might reread this intro a little differently. It might help us get the point. It might look like this. The elder, to the lady chosen by God, and to her children, whom I love in Jesus. And not only I, but also all who know Jesus. Because of Jesus, who lives in us, and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. That's worth a prayer, isn't it? Let's pray. Father, no one loves like you do. And that is why we need you to meet with us and come among us to remind us of your Son. Father, through him, you would call us your sons and daughters. And through him, you would have us be known for our love for one another. Father, we find that difficult. And we might think this morning that we should try harder. But Father, keep us from trying to save ourselves. And instead, shower us with the gospel, the truth, that we are the rescued, not the rescuers. And might these levels of love and grace, peace and mercy motivate and move us to be more like Jesus, because we pray in his lovely name. Amen.